teaching tonight, I want to show you very powerfully a very deep mystery. I want to show you why many people are not able to actualize destiny and are not able to attract the spiritual resources or any kind of resources at all needed for the journey. Tonight's teaching is showing you how to bring to your life all the spiritual resources that are needed for your destiny. Our daily bread. I want to share with you on the mystery of sufficiency. Our daily bread. Matthew chapter 6, please, and verse 1. The Bible says Jesus was teaching, you know, the people who were there, his disciples, alongside all who came to hear him. And when you read Luke's synoptic account, it actually, this discourse was an answer to a question. They came to him and they said, "Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." And then Jesus began to put some preambles together. He began to talk to them about hypocrisy, you know, praying so that men would see them. He was correcting a few things. Theologically, I don't know how we arrived here. We call this the Lord's Prayer, but it's not so. Jesus was not praying here. This was rather a lecture. This is the Lord's model, teaching on prayer. I'm convinced that the Lord's Prayer is classically found in John 17. That's where Jesus prayed. He took out time to pray. The entire chapter was dedicated. It showed the prayer of Jesus. It began as a discussion, but when you get to verse 9 of John 17, you will see that he was actually praying. Hallelujah. So, but then Matthew chapter 6, it holds something that we use for our teaching tonight. Let's go quickly to verse 11 for sake of time. Jesus began to teach what we know as the Lord's Prayer, and in that he was giving us a model on how to pray. He was not necessarily asking us to recite it as a ritual or a chant and so on and so forth. He started by saying, when you pray, pray in this manner: Our Father. So he says that when you are approaching God in prayer, you must be mindful of God as Father. You have been taught about the fatherhood of God. The Hebrew word is Abba, the Greek is Pater. It means source, sustainer, defender, protector. Our Father. When you approach God, approach him with the consciousness that even though he is God Almighty, but prayer is a family affair. Are we together now? Number two, he says, which art in heaven. That means faith will be required every time you pray, because he resides in a dimension that is not earthly. So which art in heaven is a revelation to you that even though you are seated with Christ in experience, you are here on earth, but you are communicating with a God who resides in a dimension that is not earthly. So faith will be required. Number three, hallowed be your name. That means you approach God with the spirit of reverence. In as much as he is Father, he is also God Almighty. And so that you approach him with the spirit of reverence. And then verse 10 says, thy kingdom come. That means your ultimate desire in the place of prayer should be the arrival and the manifestation of his kingdom. Are we together? Do you know what he's teaching here? I'm just digressing to put things in perspective. He's saying every other prayer request you are going to have is because of the absence of the manifestation of the kingdom. So that whilst God is interested in solving your problems here and now, the real remedy for any prayer request is that you contend for the manifestation of his kingdom. That when his kingdom comes, there are many requests you will not have again. Are we together now? Thy kingdom come. So as you pray for tea, you pray for bread, you pray for increase, you pray for healing, he's saying all of those things are deficiencies. They are showing you that their presence is there because the fullness of the kingdom has not been made manifest. So thy kingdom come must be every believer's ultimate prayer. And it tells you how the kingdom comes: by your will being done in earth. So everywhere the will of God is done, his kingdom comes. Are we together now? The coming of his kingdom. And by the way, you need to understand that when the Bible uses the word kingdom, he's not just talking about a state or a nation. He's talking about a culture, an atmosphere, a reality. that an atmosphere and a reality can superimpose your reality, that which is consistent with God's realm of reality. Let it be done in earth. You notice I have taught you, he never says on earth, he says in earth. And the first earth is you as an earthen vessel, and then your territory. So your kingdom come, your will be done in earth. My life. Are we together? Before my environment. And then we get to verse 11. And then he makes a profound statement. He says, when you pray, do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. Do not be embarrassed to ask the Father to give us this day our daily bread. Profound scripture. Give us. So he's talking about receiving now. Give us this day our daily bread. Two times he uses the expression day. Give us this day, not next week. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me help you understand what daily bread here means. Daily bread here does not necessarily mean bread literally. Now, you understand that the Bible has a very rich capture of similes and metaphors. The reason for this is, one, it is a way that God communicates to men, but number two, this has also been helpful because of the various transitions in languages and cultures. So many times Jesus would use similes and metaphors to communicate kingdom realities, not just parables. Are we together? So it's important that you are able to discern that some of the words you see expressed in scripture, they are not literal as they should be taken. Generally, when you study systematic theology, one of the things you learn is the principle of biblical interpretation. That means there are rules that govern interpreting scripture. Number one, for instance, is called the law of first mention. That every time you study a scripture, a thought line, you have to go to where it was first mentioned, and then that becomes the thought line that you use in interpreting that scripture everywhere it is found. Are we together? And then number two is called the law of emphasis. When the Bible stresses on certain thoughts, then it's important for you to also place a lot of seriousness on it. These are some of the principles that govern interpreting scripture. And generally, the way to interpret scripture is, number one, literal interpretation. Just a little crash course on theology. Literal interpretation. The first way to interpret scripture is not prophetic interpretation, is to address it literally. Now, if it does not make spiritual sense by addressing it literally, then you are going to have to deal with it within the context or relate it, comparing scripture with scripture to bring perspective to it. And if it still does not make sense, then you will have to buy into the lens of the Spirit to give it a prophetic interpretation. Are we learning now? So when Jesus says, give us this day, back to our scripture please, our daily bread. It is not out of place when you think of bread literally, but then the idea here is not that of a loaf of bread. The idea here is sufficiency. So bread is used there to represent sufficiency. Everything that can give you life, everything that can put you at a vantage position to actualize destiny is called bread. You get the idea? So when the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, in that case, as Jesus was speaking, it means literal bread, food. Are we together now? You see the difference between that bread and this bread. That bread, he literally was talking about eating physically, because he was contrasting it with the word of God too. Who is learning so far? Right, so he says, give us this day our daily bread. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Paul was mentoring the church in Corinth, and he made a very profound admission. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. He says, but our sufficiency. That means we have sufficiency, except that we outsource that sufficiency from God. Our sufficiency. I'll define sufficiency shortly. Our sufficiency is of God. In fact, let's continue verse 6. It says, who has made us able ministers. The word able there means capable. able to rise to any occasion. Able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So Paul here is admitting that, look, when you see us invincible, when you see us able to do the things that we do, actualizing destiny and frontiering the course of the kingdom with no restraint, breaking barriers, it is not that our sufficiency is of ourselves. Our sufficiency, the wherewithal, the strength, the capacity to always deliver without disappointing, it is given to us, but it is not from us. Is someone learning now? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, Paul still speaking to the church in Corinth, and he was basically talking about giving, but he brought something very profound. He says, and God is able, I like this, to make all grace, not some grace, not grace, all grace abound toward you, that ye always, say always, one more time, say always. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, all sufficiency in all things, all sufficiency may abound to every good work. You want to understand this scripture, you have to read it from the end to the beginning. That means in order to abound to every good work, you need to have all sufficiency in all things. Are we together? And that sufficiency, only God is able to make that grace abound towards you. So no one is able to actualize destiny, live an effective Christian life, and make commendable kingdom progress indefinitely if you cannot outsource sufficiency from God. Jesus said, give us this day. Someone say, give me this day my daily bread. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 35, Jesus was still mentoring the disciples who would later become apostles. And when he sent them, he made a very profound statement recalling that experience. He said unto them, verse 35 says, when I sent you, watch this, without purse, without scrip, without shoes, lacked ye anything? This was a question. He said, I sent you as empty-handed as you thought you were. I just released you to go. But I sent you with a message. I sent you with a mandate. So whilst you were on your way going, even though you stayed longer and you returned back, my question to you is that when you went, did you lack anything? And the Bible says they answered and said nothing. This must be the destiny of every believer. That you can stand by the mercy of God and say, in ministry, in business, in life, I have encountered my daily bread. There is an allocation for me by the mercy of God as proof of his fatherhood. That if he's mindful of the fact that I am on earth and that I am part of his program, then it means there is a system of supply called my daily bread. Whether you understand the dynamics of accessing it or not, like you'll be learning, is a different thing altogether. Some of you, this teaching will make you angry because you will see that you've not been answering a spiritual roll call. Your name would have been called many times in the spirit. Where are you to receive these supplies that are necessary for your advancement? But for many of us, you have not received your daily bread that makes for excelling in ministry. You have not received your daily bread. When God sent you children, with those children, there is daily bread to raise them. Whether you receive it or not. When God anoints you into an office, there is daily bread. We do this in politics. We do this in government. When we call on civil servants and public servants, together with the employment letter and the appointment, there are benefits and privileges. Are we together? Sometimes you need legislative aids. And oh dear, we have our dear people here who have a number of them. And they will tell you they have a number of them based on the gravity of the function. Give us this day our daily bread. There is a daily bread allocated for every believer in Christ. My assignment tonight is to show you the dynamics of accessing the bread for the journey. That you will be so sufficient, not in yourself, Always rising to the occasion, never disappointed. If God calls you to be a teacher of the word, there is a daily bread that keeps the spirit of revelation ever fresh upon you. God cannot give you that kind of mandate without an allocation of grace. Are we together now? So our daily bread is not just limited to food. Everything that keeps you alive, everything that keeps you fresh. If God has called you into an apostolic ministry like He's granted some of us, there is daily bread as strength so that you don't fall in the journey. I mean physical strength. Strength beyond what you eat is called daily bread. Many believers have embraced the assignment, but they did not embrace the daily bread. And so they die as if it's not God that sends them. But may things change for you tonight. There are many parents who do not know how to ask for the daily bread for their children. Lord, you gave me children. These children came from you. It means there is a system of sufficiency to be able to raise these children. You gave me this company. There is daily bread as a consistent flow of wisdom that can help me drive this business. Give us this day, he said, that when you pray, do not forget to ask, and that the allocation is daily, not monthly, not weekly, not yearly, not per service, not Sunday after service or Sunday after Sunday. Give us this day our daily bread. Is someone learning? When I sent you without purses, without script, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. 2 Peter chapter 1, please, 3 and 4. Now Apostle Peter is teaching us something very profound. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us, how many things? All things. One more time, say all things. He's still talking about sufficiency. He's saying with respect to life and godliness, there is a provision in the economy of God where the saints can access all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that pertain unto life. How it comes is why I'm here tonight. But just for you to know for starters, that whether or not your life experiences the supplies that are made for your journey, one thing you cannot, listen, you cannot blame God, because as far as the integrity of the word is concerned, there is already a provision. There was a provision before you arrived, and that provision is daily. It takes your understanding this reality, and then you can access it by faith. You will live such an invincible Christian life that will be such a model of God's grace when you know how to receive your daily bread. Hallelujah. Most believers do not know how to access the needed resources to live a victorious Christian life and to fulfill their God-given assignment. Let's define sufficiency. What does the Bible refer to as sufficiency? A few definitions. Number one, having enough to achieve a goal or to fulfill a need or to satisfy a need. Having enough to achieve a goal and to satisfy a need is called sufficiency. Having enough, the key word enough, enough to fulfill, to achieve a goal or to satisfy a need. Is someone learning? Another definition to sufficiency, the capacity to always rise to the occasion, never disappointing. The capacity, I like this. This is my definition. The capacity to always rise to the occasion, never disappointing. It's a very deep mystery. The capacity to always rise to the occasion, never disappointing, is called sufficiency. That there is a provision within the dealings of God with men, that men can be engraced, they can be empowered, as human and frail as we are, that we can tap into a system by the intelligence of the Spirit where we are able to always rise to the occasion, never disappointing. Never disappointing. Never disappointing. When you understand what I'm teaching you tonight, you will be able to run any organization. You will know where good people come from. You will know where resources come from. You will know why things never fail in the hands of certain people. It's not because they are necessarily extraordinary. They have found a system in the spirit that they can draw to their space all the resources needed as far as their excelling is concerned. If you don't know this, you will keep visions that will die in your presence. You will age and watch those visions never come to pass, because the wherewithal, the skill, the ability, the spiritual technology to attract the requisite resources for kingdom assignment, you may not have. And this is why God is helping us tonight. In the name of Jesus, may your eyes be open. Write this down, please. Fulfilling your days and fulfilling your God-given assignment will require abundant provision of resources. Fulfilling your days and fulfilling your God-given assignment will require abundant provision of resources. Resources here are not limited to material resources at all. Fulfilling your days and fulfilling your God-given assignment require abundant provision of resources. You have that down? Consistency in any area of your life, as far as advancement and impact is concerned, is also a product of abundant supplies. Consistency in any area of your life, as far as advancement and impact is concerned, is a product of abundant supplies of resources. Is someone learning? Consistency. There are times where you can be traveling from one nation to the other, and either because, say, of the distance, the aircraft can land in a place that was not part of your destination to refuel. Are we together? Because whilst you are flying, the jet fuel or the aircraft fuel just depletes to a point where it's no longer safe. Now, nothing is wrong with the aircraft on its own, but because of the distance, say you are flying to, say, Australia or America, that's quite a significant distance even in the air. Usually, most aircrafts will stop somewhere for a few minutes to refuel. That means when you see consistency, when you see people that it's as if they don't mark time, it's as if they don't stop, it's as if they don't get tired, they have mastered the art of receiving their daily bread. Daily bread. Daily bread in ministry. Daily bread in business. Daily bread in leadership. One more time, someone pray a sincere prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I've had the honor of relating with a few fathers of faith in this nation and other nations of the world, and sometimes I am amazed at their level of consistency, the stamina to continue. And it looks like for every time there is a need or there is a project, they have done business with God in a way that they never seek to lack the needed help, provision, per project. Whether it is a building project, whether it's an expansion project, whether it's growth in the spirit, whether it is influence. And for a long time I wondered, is it because they know people? Is it because they've stayed long? Until God opened my eyes to see to it that for every assignment, every believer and every mandate, there is a design by the intelligence of God that you run your life on this mysterious supply called daily bread. How do you know you are enjoying daily bread? By the sufficiency it provides for you to not stop. There is no reason to stop. Unfortunately, there are many visions that are stunted because they have not learned how to access their daily bread. Daily bread. Daily bread. There is a big difference between two, say, ministers of the gospel, genuinely called, genuinely anointed, but one can stay stunted and limited, whereas another can make strategic kingdom advancement. The difference may not be anointing, I tell you sincerely. It may just be that one has found by mercy this system of supply, and you find out that for everything you want to do, you will always find help. For everything you want to do, you will always find men. For everything you want to do. Have you seen those kinds of things? When you carry this kind of grace, the day you have a keyboard is, the day that person is marrying to relocate, before he leaves, another one arrives at church. You'll be wondering, how come good people seem to come? This is the mystery I'm teaching you. It's called our daily bread. There is a system that always ensures that you are never bankrupt of the resources that makes for kingdom assignment. Do you understand this teaching? This is very important. Finances, there are people like that. They look frail, but let them just announce that there is an assignment. You will hear that a mysterious person somewhere signed $500,000, $1 million, and you are wondering, what is this? Where did the money come from? Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who is learning already, who has made us. Show me a believer who understands the mystery you are learning tonight, and I show you one person whose downfall you will never see, as far as progress is concerned. And this is not limited to ministry, as we know. Show me a business that has found that, and you will see. I saw this in the life of Daniel. How many of you know that when governments change, tides also change? There are people who excel so well under a certain government, but once the government changes, unfortunately, you will have to go also. Your favor goes, but not Daniel. Daniel reigned to, it didn't matter what king, it didn't matter what they believed, it didn't matter what they agreed on. As for Daniel, they had to say, no, there's something on this man, that there is an excellent spirit. They couldn't do without him. Nobody could remove him. Do you know? When you read Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I wonder why Daniel was not there. Daniel was not there. And yet he was there in Babylon. But the trouble was with the three Hebrew boys. Do you know what I learned? There are certain levels of influence, but when God leaves you to, some troubles will not come to you again. Daniel was still in Babylon. The three guys that were going to be victims, there's no record that Daniel went on sabbatical or left Babylon. He was there right from chapter 1. So why were three young boys victims, and yet someone who was one of the presidents? There is a way God lifts you beyond the reach of certain troubles. There are certain battles. What you need is not deliverance. What you need is to be lifted out of it. How many of you have seen a pilot praying to cross a mountain? How many of you have seen a pilot praying to leap over a wall? All he needs to do is to lift that aircraft far beyond every mountain, far beyond every wall. Let me speak to someone in the name of Jesus. May my God lift you. That certain realities would not be found around your life again. Certain troubles would not be found around your life again. Because you would have been marvelously helped by God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Please be seated. Please be seated. Daniel was there, and yet trouble did not meet him. And there were some sincere boys. I can tell you this. We know by the integrity of scripture that Daniel would not have bowed to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Question, where was he? Because the story still continues. The man didn't bow, yet he was there. All that was required for his excelling, for his remaining. That means when you find believers taunted as far as fulfilling their kingdom assignment is concerned, among the many explanations, it may be that they have not learned. They have not learned how to receive their daily bread. I hope you know the concept of daily bread was not an apostle's idea. It was Jesus himself. When Jesus is teaching you how to live, you pay attention. He says, when you pray, in all your asking, don't forget to ask this. Give us this day. The Father is not tired of hearing. He designed the system himself. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us at this level our daily bread. When we rise to a higher level, give us at that level our daily bread. the capacity to always rise to the occasion, never disappointing. I have learned from the study of scripture, I have learned by the help of the Spirit, that there are four resources. Please listen. When the Bible talks about sufficiency, as far as destiny actualization and kingdom advance is concerned, I have broken these realms of resources into four. And I give you a guarantee by the integrity of God's word that anyone who will press to have to understand the system that governs the arrival and the maintenance of these resources will be an indomitable spiritual personality. The word of God, for starters, has equal value in every nation. There are no sentiments. The word of God is an equalizer to any destiny. No matter how disadvantaged you are, once the word of God is introduced to your life, that equalizing factor has come. Now listen carefully. By reason of our natural or geographic condition, the truth is that we are not the same. Economically, with all due respect, are we together? When you bring in things like culture, when you bring in things like family background, when you bring things like social status, when you bring things like finances, it immediately separates people into different cadres. But the moment you introduce the word of God to any life, it comes as a remedy for whatever was missing. That if you know how to draw out the treasures that are hidden within it, it can equalize and stabilize your life. I came from a family with curses and yokes, and it seems like nobody can make it. You are right until the word of God comes. From the day the word of God arrived, you stop that excuse, because the basis for deliverance has come. The basis for lifting has come. The basis for restoration has come. He sent forth his word. The question is, where did the word go to? The word did not just come to them. The word came to their situation also. God can send a word to a person. God can send a word to a situation. Are we together? So there are four resources as far as sufficiency is needed. And every time God mandates that you serve his purposes at any level, these are the areas where you are going to have to contend with the Spirit to master. Sufficiency in these areas and sufficiency on this wise becomes for you a secret of living an excelling life. Are you ready now? Number one, the first dimension of resources that are needed as far as your daily bread is concerned are called spiritual resources. Spiritual resources, the first dimension of resources needed. And there are two of them, essentially. Number one, the first and the greatest spiritual resource you need is called divine presence. Divine presence. Divine presence. Exodus chapter 33, 13 to 16. Give us this day our daily bread. That which keeps us going. That which keeps us running. That which makes for our never stopping. That which makes for our never going down. Spiritual resources. And that the first and the greatest of every spiritual resource that you have to contend for is called divine presence. Please give it to us. We learn from Moses now. He's praying. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14. And he said, oh, may he say concerning you. He said, my presence, not my angels, my presence shall go with you, and as a result, I will give thee rest. My presence shall go with you, Ladies and gentlemen, I'm showing you what separates men from men. What separates visions from visions. It's not necessarily the size of your body. It's the ability to have access to daily bread. There are mysteries that work with men and produce the kinds of results that you see. One of it is your access to spiritual resources. And the greatest of it is divine presence. Now look up, please. There are three dimensions of God's presence as revealed in Scripture. I have taught you. Number one is called His omnipresence, His ability to be everywhere at the same time. The psalmist said, where can I hide from your presence? Are we together? The highest of heavens and the deepest parts of the earth and the seas, He is there. God's ability to be everywhere is called His omnipresence. And let me just digress for a minute to teach you, for those of you who may be hearing for the first time, that when the Bible calls us partakers of His divine nature, I hope you know that it's not every part of God's nature that He gave man. There are certain dimensions of God's nature and glory that was not given to man. These are the dimensions of God that brand Him as God. One of it is omnipresence. God did not give man that ability. Man is not omnipresent. Number two, man is not omniscient. Man is not all-knowing. No. We see in part, the prophet said, and we prophesy in part. The most yielded, the most studious is still limited. We see in part. Only God is all-knowing. And then, omnipotence, all-powerful. No man has been given the ability to share in that name called El Shaddai. It's a name that is exclusive to God. There are names God calls Himself, and He also calls the saints. For instance, God is light. He also says we are the light of the world. He's not ashamed to share that with us. But when it has to do with omnipotence, I have spoken once and twice have you heard that power exclusively belongs to the Lord. Are you learning now? So when you say we are partakers of His divine nature, it is not every part of His nature you were given. That is the reason why our dominion is not absolute dominion. Our dominion is shared dominion. It's derived from our relationship with Him. We cannot do without Him, but He can do without us. You see the difference now? We have to depend on Him for the continuous flow of the life, the power that comes. I am the vine. He didn't say we are the vine. In John 15, He said we will see a whole tree, but let me tell you the parts so that you know what you are and what you are not. He says, I am the vine. And then He says, you are the branches, the fruit bearing part of that vine. The vine does not need the branches. You can cut the branches. Another one will come out. But you cut it away and drop that branch. It dies and it withers. Isn't this powerful? Give us this day our daily bread. He's not just talking about food. That there are spiritual resources a man can master how to outsource on the journey. And it makes your journey worthwhile. You will continue to leap from one level of victory to the other. Mysterious to both you and those watching you. And that the secret is that you have learned how to draw within your space spiritual resources. The first and the greatest of them being divine presence. Your holy presence, living in me, and I'm desperate for you. Chapter 16 and verse 20. Here's what the Bible says. Mark 16, 20. Please give it to us. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. But here was their secret. They learned the key to sufficiency. They went as ordinary men, started as fishermen, but the Lord walking with them, not in them, walking with them, I'm teaching you that there are three dimensions to God's presence. Number one is called His omnipresence. He's everywhere. That reality has no effect on you. Because even where demons are, the presence of God is there. Number two, I call it His Emmanuel dimension. His ability to be in the midst of His people only where two or three are gathered. Whether they take advantage of that presence or not, He says, where two or three are gathered in My name, I'm there in their midst. The third is called His Shekinah. It's called His manifested presence. Not His presence. His manifested presence. The presence is there in a way that you must acknowledge it, and it has come for your profiting. His manifested presence. So when Moses was saying, if your presence, the word is Shekinah, if your manifested presence, revealed presence, He was always there with them, but His manifested presence, My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And verse 15, He says, leave it please, verse 15, if thy presence go not with Me, He said, I prefer to stay in one place. Because it is cheaper to stay in one place than to sojourn without this resource of your presence. No matter how intelligent you are, no matter how vast in knowledge, if you do not secure the sufficiency of His presence, you will fail in the journey. You will see how frail knowledge is in the presence of the realm of the spirit. That there are certain levels of things we think we know that only find their value within the earth realm. Once you are exposed to spiritual realities, your knowledge will stand frail and impotent. Are we together? Spiritual resources and the Lord walking with them. Let me show you a scripture. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Peter was speaking in the house of Cornelius, the salvation that would now come to the Gentiles, and he made a profound statement. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all they that were oppressed of the devil. The last line is the secret. For God was with him. Let me tell you the truth. When God is in you in the person of the Holy Spirit, that does an inner work within you to prepare you. But there is a dimension for the journey. It's not God in you. It's God with you. Most people do not know the secrets of carrying the manifested presence of God. I learned this mystery in the life of a man called A.W. Tozer. I read a book, The Practice of Divine Presence, The Practice of His Presence. That a man can carry, you can literally, the Holy Ghost can be in you and it looks like you are not even saved. But when that Shekinah, that glory rests upon you, there is something it does to you. That it will do for you the same thing it did for the rod of Aaron. That even though it did not have root, it still budded. There is something that happens to a man when you pay the price in righteousness to be a worthy host of divine presence. I have seen what divine presence can do. Are we together now? Divine presence. You carry divine presence as a man of God. You will walk wonders by the Spirit of God. I can tell you, divine presence secures favor. Divine presence can open doors. There are many things you will not need to pray for if you carry divine presence. The Lord walking with them. Walking with them. No wonder some of them went somewhere and spirits and devils were just crying. How about Jesus? Have you come to destroy us before our time? Divine presence. Manifested presence, not just omnipresence. And let me tell you this, there are two keys. I wish I was teaching, I wanted to listen to my teaching. I've done several teachings around the presence of God and encounters, right? We considered Zephaniah, the Lord in the midst of His people is mighty. But there are two keys that I've learned in my walk with God that can help a man secure the manifested presence of God in your life. Number one is the depth of your love for God. the depth of your passion for God, the depth of your passion for God, the depth of your passion for God, the depth of your passion for God. John chapter 14, please, and verse 21. John 14, let's hurry up and verse 21. He that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Read with me, Koinonia. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Will manifest myself to him. I'm praying that we not only become carriers of knowledge, but carriers of that divine presence. That you stand close to someone and the person does not even know what is happening. Chains are breaking. You are not talking. Yet you brought an atmosphere. You brought tremendous energy, presence. Are we together? As a preacher, when you stand on stage, what you are serving is beyond an information. You are also giving people access to the presence that you came with from your secret place. There are many things they should receive beyond the words they are hearing. There is a spirit activity that must go beyond your speakings. You may be teaching on anything for that matter, and yet what they are receiving, there is a witness in their spirit that I am getting more than what this man is saying. Now, their minds cannot process it because it is spirit transaction. It will take a while for them to see that something was deposited. In all your getting, don't just get knowledge. Contend for presence, the depth of your love for God that is expressed in your devotion. Not empty, I love you. Not empty, I love you. Consecration and devotion are two keys that connect to love. Devotion. They follow wholly, not half-heartedly, not one leg in, one leg out, wholly. And then number two, the second key that secures divine presence is obedience. When I sent you, not when you left, not when you wanted to go, when I sent you, lackest thou anything, including the presence that bought you. There are many people doing things God did not ask them to do, and God will not back what he did not command. If you are obeying a lie, you are still disobeying. Divine presence. Ladies and gentlemen, I have learned this with all humility as a secret. I have seen what the presence of God can do. You see, every spirit, born again or not, regenerated or not, any spirit can detect the presence of God. So you can stand close to someone and not know why you want to bless him and not know why you want to help him. It's not always about wisdom. They are carrying something that is compelling blessings from your spirit. This is what you can carry as a man of God that will draw people who do not know you. They will travel distances and come. They cannot tell what is pulling them. It's called presence. Divine presence. You can copy a man of God's sermon, but you don't copy presence. You can say exactly what was said and not see the effect. Exactly, same scripture, same preaching, same emphasis, same example, but there will be no life because there was no presence. Can I tell you the truth? When you carry presence, you will save yourself the pressure of always trying to say something new. You will focus on being fresh. Presence is responsible for freshness. The food that you eat biologically from the day you were born till today, they are countable. You can write them on a paper, yet you have not died. But every time you eat, the reason why you survive is because you eat freshness, not necessarily newness. Listen, let me tell you why, as men of God, when we prepare sermons, we still take the time to pray and brood over it. Because a good sermon without the presence factor will fall on deaf ears. It remains as a lecture, no matter how intelligent. Let me advise you as a man of God. After preparing your notes, place it on the ground and lie there in prayer. Let your presence, that presence factor, You are preparing for a miracle service or a crusade, and all you bought was clothes and tie, you will be disappointed in a very brutal way. That your disappointment will be a lesson for many people. This is what a lot of people do. Don't be beguiled by all this protocol that escorts. No! Even those who practice witchcraft know. They stay first. There is an incubation. It's called marination. Women will understand. You put meat and just leave it in a sauce for hours, and something happens. There is that marination, and from it you come out. And there are things you will not have to say again. The more you carry the presence, the less the noise. The less the noise. But the louder the sound, I tell you, the louder the sound of impact, the sound of deliverance. Holy, holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of God. I will manifest myself. Man of God, learn this as a secret. Carry presence. Don't just carry Bible, carry presence. Carry presence. Don't just carry information. The presence of God. Be marinated in that presence. Soak in that glory. Be robed up in that glory. And come out. That's where the word baptizo comes. You are immersed. You have become one with that glory. You come out from that atmosphere. Sufficiency. Presence. Listen. There are many things you will not look for if you find the presence of God. 2 Chronicles 25, 26 and verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5. Presence. Let's hurry up. We have a lot to do. Let's read together. And he sought God. First four words. And he sought. He sought God, not things. God, not a name. God, not power. God, not a platform. God, not a preaching opportunity. He sought God. In the days of Zechariah, who had the understandings of the vision of God. Read with me, Koinonia. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Who makes men prosper? One more time. Who makes men prosper? Make no mistakes about it. When you see anyone lifted, blessed, adorned with glory, God is behind it. God made him. There is a name God is called. He's called a maker. He does not just make the heavens and the earth alone. He's a maker of men, the maker of ministries, the maker of destinies. And that same God is making someone's life today, turning you to Beulah and Hephzibah, making beauty out of your life. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Please sit down. The first spiritual resource you need, we have to hurry, is called divine presence. I have to stop. The next spiritual resource that you need is called supernatural power. You need power. You need power. My goodness, you need power. Genuine power. Genuine power. Apostolic power. Genuine power for signs and wonders. Genuine power to command the supernatural. Genuine power that makes your words like the words of God. Genuine power that produces results. Genuine power that opens gates. Genuine power that closes other gates. Many, many people are sincere, but they've not stayed with God to carry genuine power. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed even the word needed to be anointed. Even the word needed to be anointed. The word without the anointing was impotent. How God anointed the word with the Holy Ghost and with power, and with power, and with power, and with power. What is power? The force that compels compliance. The force that compels compliance. If there is one thing I've learned about Satan, is that he's a stubborn spirit. It doesn't matter what God has said. Once power has not been introduced, you are joking. God said, I am the head and not the tail. That statement does not scare spirits. But let power come in. Power. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. It says it is through the greatness of thy power that the enemies will submit themselves. Psalm 66 and verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves. You are not the first person to come from a family with charms and yokes. We all came from there. When you see it not work, it's not because it cannot work. It was stopped. Power. 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 My God. I once watched a video of an elephant that was tied to an aircraft. They wanted to test the level of strength it had. And they tied the elephant to an aircraft just to see if it could pull it. And that thing looked like it was joking until it started pushing that aircraft. That aircraft went in total obedience. Say power. The end of any argument, is when power comes. Genuine power. Genuine power. Genuine power. Man of God, you need power. You have a message, but tarry ye until ye be endued, not with another sermon, be endued with power. Yes, sir. You shall receive power. I taught you already, but you shall receive power. Meaning you can reject it. Many have rejected it. And they told themselves, I'm not a preacher. Power is not for preachers. It is a spiritual resource that empowers you for the journey. You shall receive power. So when he says, give us this day our daily bread, the first spiritual resource you need to continue, to remain, to advance, when you combine presence and power, my God, you have something on your life. You have something on your life. You have something on your life. And I'm praying for someone in the name of Jesus. The grace to stay. You know the secret of spiritual power? There are many factors. But let me tell you the truth. One authentic pathway to spiritual power is to engage the mystery of prayer with fasting. Authentic spiritual power, prayer with fasting, in the presence of light. You have found the combo. Prayer with fast, not prayer and fasting. If you pray and don't fast, well, that's fine. But if you fast and don't pray, you only took yourself to a point of hunger. Many people say they are fasting and just wake up 10 minutes. They peel the orange they will take by 6, by 5:45, and that's all they are doing. And by 6 on the dot, without 1 second added, they start to suck the orange. And well, the mercy of God is there, but you didn't fast. No. There is a fast commanded, I tell you, that produces power. Genuine power. That you lock yourself and pray. Not pray and browse. Not pray and call. Not pray and watch part movie, part this thing. You shut down and pray for the purpose of edification. No prayer point. When others are snoring their destiny, you are generating energy, making contact with genuine power. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Someone shout power. Please be seated. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm showing you the mystery of sufficiency. And can I tell you, the order of your pursuit matters. Your spiritual pursuit must be the greatest and the highest in terms of the energy you give your pursuit. There are others, like you'll be learning, but in order of priority. When you want to embark on any spiritual journey, ministry, life, business, your assignment, please, in all you're getting, if you must get daily bread, you must invest in the things that keep divine presence. You must invest in the things that keep divine power. Don't just say it arrived yesterday. No. Give us this day. That means do this day that which brings the daily bread. Give us this day. For those of you who have interacted with the North, when the Muslims are having their fast, many times some of the mosques and the people, they, you know, someone just donates so that they can cook for some of the children who cannot help themselves. How many of you have seen that kind of thing? And once it's time, they all arrange their plates and then they serve them and they go. And by the next day, they wash their plates again. Sometimes you see the children hungry and they are just waiting impatiently until it's time. They come this day to receive this day. If you don't do the things daily that keep the presence daily, that keep the power daily, you will wake up like Samson and find out that there's no power again. Assumption is costly in this journey of destiny. You only pray when you are going for a conference, or you only pray, study the Bible like the dear sister who gave her testimony. You see, honestly admitting that before the school of ministry, she would not even open her Bible, she would not even pray. Obtain grace to love the Lord more than your necessary food. Secure divine presence. Secure divine presence through the depth of your devotion for spiritual things. Obtain grace to invest in the place of prayer. Obtain grace to invest in the place of the word until you contact genuine power. Genuine power. Every time I have the opportunity to watch videos of the patriarchs in modern history, sometimes I just find myself tears just running. I may not be crying, but sometimes I say, Lord, have mercy on us. Where did we miss this thing? I mean, these guys died. These men carried power. They really carried power. If you've not watched enough of their videos, you may think people are exaggerating. But when God grants you access to rare materials, I remember watching one of these men of God, I think it was A.A. Allen. They brought someone who had polio, and it was as if he was stretching cloth that you are going to iron. He just stretched that guy and told him to stand up, and that was it. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Oh, 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 rest on me. Number two, the second level of resources you must press to have is called intellectual resources. Write it down, please. Write it down and let's make progress. The resources of knowledge, the resources of wisdom, the resources of understanding. Intellectual resources. Intellectual resources. Proverbs chapter 24, please. From verse 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Intellectual resources. Give us this day our daily bread. Through wisdom, my Bible says, Amplified, please. Amplified gives us a broader perspective as to that scripture. Through skillful and godly wisdom, it says, is a house, a life, a home, a family built, and by understanding it is established on sound and good foundation. Next verse. It says, by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The Bible says there is treasure and oil to be desired in the dwelling of the wise. There is treasure. Every time you find wisdom, there are resources that follow it. Not just mighty works. There is treasure and there is oil to be desired in the house of the wise. That was why when the woman, the wife of the sons of the prophet, came and met the prophet and said, I have nothing except. The prophet said, you said your husband was a prophet? No. If he was a prophet, it means that he had encountered the wisdom of God. If there's no treasure, check, there is oil. There has to be both treasure and oil in the house of the wise. That even if treasure finishes, when you check, there's still oil. It's impossible to have wisdom and not find treasure and oil to be desired. One of the things that was depleted in the foolish virgins was oil. Oil. And they said, go to them that sell. There are wise people who know how to. If the ones who carried extra oil are called wise, then the ones who sell them are called what? You see, oil and treasure to be desired. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread, please look up. You know that destiny actualization, like I have taught you, is knowledge dependent, is wisdom dependent, is understanding dependent. There are forces, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible calls them exceeding great and precious promises. It says that by them you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you do not know the way that leads to the city, you see, the Bible says the labor of the fool wearieth every one of them. Every one of the ministry, every one of the company, every individual, because he knoweth not how to get to the city. Job chapter 38 and verse 33, NIV. Here's what God told Job. NIV, please. Do you know the laws of the heavens? And can you set up God's dominion using those laws over the earth? Do you know the laws? I think NLT says about the same thing. Do you know the laws? KJV says the ordinances of heaven. Yes, I like NLT. Let's read NLT. One, two, go. Do you know the laws of the universe? He says, can you use them to regulate the earth? Regulate the earth. Can you use them and tame life like an animal? Can you use these spiritual laws and define your realities? There are laws that govern influence. There are laws that govern abundance. There are laws that control leadership. There are laws that control growth. There are laws that control sustainability of anything. Which one do you know and which one do you not know? These are the resources. When you say, give us this day our daily bread, you are saying, make available to my life, oh God, the kind of knowledge I need to be empowered for the journey, the wisdom I need to be empowered for the journey. Some of you, you're coming for koinonia. Is God answering this prayer? You have found a place of your daily bread where you receive knowledge. Knowledge that equips you, wisdom that empowers you. Are we together? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There is a way to get results. You have to master the art of producing results. There is a way to get results. There are many women here. If we say we want to cook for everyone here, there are certain women who single-handedly, they can cook for 1,000 people and they will not make mistakes. It's called mastery. Mastery. Some of us may be able to cook for one or two people, maybe ourselves and any other person who is there. But once you say cook for a crowd, the dynamics change. There are some of you who can drive, but you can't drive a truck. You've been driving for 10 years, but if we give you a truck, you may die. What is the difference? The dynamics. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, the Bible says that that man knoweth not as he ought to know. There is a standard in the spirit that controls any dimension of result you want. Please listen carefully. Those who have excelled in life and destiny are those who by mercy and grace, in honor to their hunger, have found an oasis of knowledge and they have plunged into it to their advantage. Knowledge. In ignorance, you are already a defeated believer. Even if Satan does not exist, in ignorance you are already a defeated believer. My people are destroyed, Hosea 4 and verse 6, for the lack of knowledge. It says, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, and canst thou establish the dominion upon the earth thereof? Do you understand the principles by which the heavens regulate itself? In fact, let's read verse 34 and 35. Same Job 38. I like what he says. Can you shut the clouds and make it rain? Can you shout to the clouds? KJV says, do you know the mystery that you will command the clouds and you will be drenched with abundance of water? Can you lift up your voice that there is a way you can stand as a believer, not divination, on the strength of a certain kind of knowledge? Creation, elemental forces can support you. It was Job that said, you will be delivered. Or is it Proverbs now? That you will be delivered in six things. Among them, he said, the scourging tongues of men. Who would have known that the speakings of men have life? That a man can program trouble and leave you, and the trouble can be waiting there to take to it. Believers are ignorant people. This is the reason why we need abundance of light. In fact, do you know the inheritance of the saints is light? What the Bible calls inheritance is not car, it's not houses, it's light. Access to a requisite body of knowledge that upgrades you to the God class. The Zoe life that we have received, you see, activating it is knowledge dependent. The degree to which you access light, quality light, high level spiritual illumination. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their minds. The assignment of the God of this world is not even to afflict your health, is to blind your mind so that you will not see. John 1:5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John chapter 1 and verse 6, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. His assignment, verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Of the light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, 15 and 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. It says, neither do men light a candle. If the candle does not have light, you can throw it anywhere. But the moment light comes on it, there is a position that candle should not be again. It is placed on a candlestick and it gives light to all who are in the house. The first way to make your light so shine is to be enlightened. When you carry the light, then you can make it shine. Isaiah 60 and verse 1, amplified. Arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. It says, rise to a new light. 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 Someone shout light. Listen. Are you saying that for most people, if you ask them why they are not making progress, they will say, if somebody can just help me with money. When they say, I need help, what they mean is transport, and there's nothing wrong. But I'm showing you that these are the richer spiritual resources. When he says, give us this day our daily bread, you see that? He's not just talking of a loaf of bread. For you will eat of that bread and go to the toilet hours later on, and that will be the end of it. But there is one you can have. It lasts, it stays, and it calls every other thing after its kind. Divine presence, power, back it up with wisdom, back it up with knowledge. I have taught you here, listen to my teachings. I have taught you so many things. Get my message, the ministry of light, the journey beyond salvation, the ministry of light. I show you a journey beyond salvation, that beyond the initial salvation, there is a journey. There is a journey. John 17 and verse 3. This is life eternal. It says that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Light. I remain a student of light. He says if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, if you choose to walk in the light, there are things that happen to your life as he is in the light. If we walk in the light, please contend for light. Get materials. You heard the testimony of the gentleman who came here, ignorant, bankrupt of light. Do you know that their situation would have remained the way it is till today? The value of the prophetic word was that it came to a life that was hungry for light. It wasn't only them who heard that prophetic word. They heard the word just like we did. But the word did not benefit them, not mixed with faith. I hope you know that faith is a child of light. Faith is a child of revelation. Genuine Bible faith is not a mechanical thing. In fact, it is a natural product of light. Light. Bible faith is a product of light. Bible faith, a product of light. They heard the word just like we did. If it be thou, bid me come. And he said, come. The faith comes from light, comes from knowledge. Are we together now? If I give you an instruction and I say, stand up and come and meet me. Now, because the word has come, you can act on it. That becomes faith. But if you get up and you are coming, it's called madness, not faith. Give us this day. Ladies and gentlemen, your daily bread is the divine presence you can secure. The power of the Holy Spirit you can secure. Your daily bread is also your access to high-level spiritual illumination. High-level spiritual illumination. High-level spiritual illumination. Now, when it has to do with knowledge, there are two dimensions of it. Let me just touch on it quickly. There is spiritual knowledge, and then there is knowledge of the laws of the universe. You need both of them. There is spiritual knowledge. There is knowledge of the laws of the universe. Many believers, do you know when you went to school, especially for most who are science-based and who studied courses around social science, psychology, most of the things you went to learn are principles that relate to a number of laws that govern the universe. If it's the study of the human body, to make drugs and everything, they operate on laws. Are we together? Spiritual laws are important, but I want you to know that there are laws that regulate life. There are laws. For instance, the law of honor. The law of honor is not just a spiritual law alone. The law of honor is a law that works for men, animals, anything at all. The reward system of the kingdom, for instance. There are laws that govern leadership. There are laws that govern influence. These are not necessarily spiritual laws, even though they are God's laws. Most people do not take out time to study these laws. The law of mental transformation. This is a law that the realities in your life come in honor to the quality of your belief systems. I told you, remember I taught you that your belief system is your contribution to your failure or your success. Your belief system is how you contributed to your becoming a failure or how you contributed to becoming a success. So every time you fail or succeed, ultimately give glory to God. But the dynamics is that a part of your contribution was your belief system. If you fail, check well. Demons partnered with your belief system. Failure partnered with your belief system. Like a womb, your belief system came to empower failure. Hallelujah. Listen, let me challenge everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go for knowledge. There are too many teachings. Go for knowledge. If you take the time to listen to the teachings that have come just from January till now, I'm telling you, it's enough to open doors. Do I recap on the teachings? Just take a message like Lessons from an Overcomer. Sit with that message. It will change your life. Are we together? Seasons of Abundance, Deliverance from Captivity, The Ministry of Light. I mean, I can name them. Many believers are lazy. God has distilled knowledge. He's taken sense from nonsense and he's brought it. All it takes is for you to calm down and study. I'm reminded of the testimony of a dear brother during I think that was at US conference or so. Very humbling testimony. Right from jail, incarcerated under the influence of drugs, and his friend gave him the teachings, and this guy started listening methodically. And in 1 year or thereabout, came out of jail, rehabilitated, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, owned properties. Come on now. The transforming power of light. Look at the other brother now. He listened to a message, came, received a prophetic word. He had that brother all the while in Dubai. Like your destiny helper has been all the while in Abuja, but waiting for your knowledge to trigger things in the spirit. You see, the realm of the spirit works based on a call and response system. A call and response system. There has to be a call before there is a response. And you don't call by just speaking. You call. Your mind also has a voice. It can call things. The Bible says even your mind is a prayer warrior, and that God can answer the request that your mindset gives. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or think. Two ways to pray: by verbalizing it, and by the power, the excellency of your mentality. Your mindset is a prayer warrior. There are things it can call to your life. Job said, "The thing that I feared most has come upon me. I attracted failure by my fear. The abundance that I had. What if I lose this one day? What if I lose this one day?" I hope you're learning koinonia. So when he says our daily bread, the mystery of sufficiency happens for you when you are able to acquire the requisite knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And I taught you the difference already, that knowledge talks about a coordinated gathering of useful information, but it is not profitable on its own. Are we together now? Understanding means the comprehension of those laws. Understanding the working dynamics. How to combine knowledge so that it profits you. Wisdom is the grace and the fortitude to put knowledge that has been understood to work so that it produces. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. When you act on what you do not understand, you only recycle seasons of pain. It is wisdom, then understanding. Knowledge, then understanding, then wisdom. The third resource, very quickly, give us this day. Who is learning? You are seeing what you need for the journey. When you find people who are running and they don't seem to stop, these are the forces working behind the scenes. The presence force, the power force, the knowledge, wisdom, understanding force. Number four. Are you ready? The third resource that you need, or number three now, human resources. Human resources. Human resources. My God. Human resources. Human resources. First Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1. First Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1. Human resources. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. Read with me Koinonia, the last sentence. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Helpers of the war. You are as fortunate as the men who believe you. You are as fortunate as the men who are willing to stand with you until God's vision upon your life comes to fruition. You are as fortunate when you are praying and saying, Lord, show me mercy and favor. Don't just pray for money. The money is in the hands of men. The money is not in the bank. The bank only keeps it for men. You are as fortunate, I tell you sincerely, as the men, not the amount in your account, the men that are willing to stand with you, willing to stand with you, willing to drive that vision. In ancient times, the excellency of the might of a king was first men before the treasures. Men, in the multitude of men is a king's honor. The Lord gave the word, but great was the company of them that published it. Let me tell you the truth. In the business of kingdom advance, number is an advantage. Yes, sir, it is. It is. It is. When God wants to help a man, in addition to giving you the gift of himself, he puts upon the heart of men those who are touched enough to stand with you, touched enough to partner with you, touched enough to pour out their resources, their time, their energy. The heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, but ladies and gentlemen, the earth he had given to the sons of men. I've told you, if God says yes and men say no, your yes remains in the realm of the spirit. It is always the spirit and the bride that says come. It is the spirit and the bride. There are many of you, God has said yes from time immemorial, but the human vessel to come into partnership with prophecy has not come, either by demonic obstructions or by the low level of your ignorance. In the name of Jesus tonight, may things change. Your destiny accelerates at the pace and the speed with which helpers arrive. It is true. It is true. Today, by the grace of God, we have been marvelously helped of God. Yes, the presence is there. Yes, the power is there. Yes, the privilege of wisdom is there. But I can tell you, every vision is driven upon the strength of men. Even the ark is carried upon the shoulder of priests. The ark is God's presence, but it takes men to carry it to where it needs to go to. Hallelujah. Men. Organizations, you need men. Pastors, pray for men. Quality men. I'm not just talking about members. I'm talking about people mandated to be part of your destiny. I have taught you this. When you surround yourself with an audience that does not have value for what you carry, you will be trivialized even though gifted. When God wants to help a man, he changes your audience. He puts you before men and women who have an appreciation for the investment of God upon your life. Are we together now? Yes, sir. Woe betides a gifted man who stands in the presence of those who do not have the discernment over what you carry. They can turn a king to become a prisoner. Potiphar stood before Joseph, not knowing that would be his prime minister, lost an opportunity to establish a great relationship. Potiphar's wife came with her own trouble, sent him to the prison. But when he stood before the king said, "This is what I'm looking for. Joseph, it is only in ranking that I'll be higher than you. But as far as administration and operation is concerned, Egypt is yours. Do with it as you please." Men. I have learned in my life the value of men. Men as intercessors. Men as financial partners. Men, do you know that goodwill is as powerful as prophecy? Goodwill. That someone speaks good and leaves a good word. I don't know this person, but he's a good man. Whatever assistance you can provide for him, that literally can turn the tide. If you think goodwill does not work, live long enough on earth under bad luck and bad will. Bad luck starts from bad will. Demons look for words and they partner with the word and program negative climates over people. The wife of Herod came and met him and said, "I had a dream. This man is a good man. I don't know him, but be careful. Be careful. Something tells me this is a good man." And the guy did not listen. One man ordained by God, sent by God to hold your hand in ministry, to hold your hand in business. Not everybody is a con person. Not everybody is a deceiver. Believers, learn this. It is part of God's system. When he says, "Give us this day our daily bread," it also means, please bring the men ordained by yourself to my destiny. The men to help my expansion. The men to sustain my relevance. Bring them. And one by one, from one state, one region, one nation, they keep coming. And you will wonder why they seem to ignore others and focus on you. They were sent. Go to Zarephath. I have commanded commanded. The woman did not sound like she was commanded. It was a spiritual reality. I have softened her heart for your sake. May you meet a man that God has touched for your sake. Touched for your sake. Apostle, but this visa issue, I can't meet my wife because I'm in Nigeria. She's been in, the thing is difficult. I submit to you. It's only as difficult as the man who is absent in your life. The day you meet a sent person, someone was giving me a very, you know, humbling testimony when I returned yesterday at the airport. And he said one thing led to the other. He was trusting God. I think he was to get a U.S. visa or so somewhere. And, you know, he tried. It was not working. And this was someone who was working in a place where it shouldn't be difficult. And he said while he was doing his work at the airport as a senior, you know, uniformed man, suddenly one of the consulars just arrived in Nigeria and he helped the person. And he just felt like telling the person, sorry, could you help me over my issue? And the man said, really? He said, okay, call this number, send a text, and that was it. Everything is as hard as who is absent. Everything is as hard as who is absent. Hard as who is absent. Hard as who is absent. There are times that the person holding the key to a store comes late and every hungry person stands there. Have you desired to buy something from a shop, maybe a small shop, and the person to open it, even the owner does not know that the person he put there has not arrived. And you are standing, you want to quickly buy bread for your children, and yet the boy woke up late and he's punishing you because he woke up late. And sometimes you get angry and say, why, this is 7 o'clock, you should be open by now. And he says, I'm sorry, I slept late. His lateness affected you. What if you come and meet him early? You will go early. Was it not the delay of the bridegroom that turned the virgins to foolish and wise? If the bridegroom came early, all of them would simply be called virgins. Because one person delayed in arrival. There are times that simply because something happens, maybe a pilot arrives at the airport late, it can affect not only that very aircraft, all other flights that day will be affected. I pray for you. This thing called speed, may you enjoy it in this season. Honestly, from the depth of my heart, I pray for you. Not just that God will bring men, that he will bring them on time. On time. On time. Help us on time. Lift us on time. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Give us this day. Give us this day. When Jesus came, as the Bible records, from birth, he had not solved anybody's problem financially. So it's not about value. Wise men heard that a baby was born. They didn't even wait to verify whether he was productive or not. They came bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus did with it, but we know from that day he didn't beg again. Use your brain and tell me what you would do as a baby with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were expensive resources. I remember, I think it was John G. Lake who was giving his story when God sent him to Spokane. As he was there on the line, that there were people who were already sent to wait there, and they kept asking, are you John Lake? Are you John Lake? And they said, the Lord asked us, he told us you were coming. Give us this day. That before you arrive a city, your helpers get there before you. And they say, we've been searching. The Lord told us that an orphan is going to come to this land. Hallelujah. Something happened a few weeks here. Please sit down. Let me just share it. Something happened a few weeks here that touched me. I was praying, preparing for service, maybe about a month ago. I was praying, preparing for service, and I saw a vision of two young ladies. And the Lord told me that I'm going to meet ladies as I'm counseling. They are orphans. He said I should help them and put a scholarship program for them. I was praying. I came to church, finished koinonia, finished counseling. While I was praying, then I just see these two ladies standing before me, and I was smiling. They didn't even know that for their sake, only God knows the prayer they were praying in their rooms. I'm just sharing this with you. I'm sure they are even in church here. Two young girls. one from one of these neighboring states. And I looked at them, and without hesitation, your helpers know they were sent to you. You don't need to manipulate them to give you money. You don't need to manipulate. They know they are sent. They will tell you, I came to your church. I came to stand by you. It was God who sent me. Why does it look like you are without help? You have not received your daily bread. There is a grace that can compel men to help you. I've seen this in ministry. I can tell you stories that will sound like arrogance. The help of men, somebody holding you, somebody advocating for your rising, someone insisting that life treats you fairly. For some of you, this is the part of your daily bread you do not have. You have wisdom. You've contended for presence, but you are grossly lacking in the ministry of men. Everything you do in your life, you do alone. No quality men. Your contacts are full of troublemakers. You need God to show you mercy tonight. One person, one. Again, I refer you to the story of that brother in debt. At what point would he have started paying that debt? I told you, answer to prayers is men dependent. A major part of answered prayer is because of men. Apostle, I'm praying for promotion. No, it's men dependent. What you call promotion today is a reality on somebody's table. Now, Apostle, I want someone to release my money, but I cannot meet some. There is, everybody respects somebody, even Satan. Everybody respects someone. And when God wants to help you, he will make the person they respect to speak to them on your behalf. Everybody respects someone. Everybody. The most stubborn, the most hardened, even if they say over my dead body. In my own little capacity as a man of God, there are people, because of the honor they have for me, I can speak to them, please, on my honor, help so. Apostle, if it's for you, anything, it's done. That's it. In 1 minute, a man's prayer and fasting can be answered because of a man. I'm praying for you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, the human resources that must come to your life, quality men, gatekeepers, holders of keys, I pray for you. May you encounter them this week. May you encounter them this week. May you encounter them this week. May you encounter some this night. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sit down. Please sit down. I am not sure. Just help those under the anointing. I am not sure there is any major season in my life where a man did not partner with God to make it happen for me. This is the mystery of ease. What are you looking for that men cannot be used by God to do? Visa, travels, a job, a good word, is that you've not met the right people. It is not every man that can give you every answer. That's why not everybody could bring Joseph out of the pit. It had to be the king. It had to be the king. Had to be the king. Man of God, let me give you a prayer point. Go back home and pray. That small work can grow. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to do a lot of things and manipulate people. Just go on your knees and cry. God, when you sent me, you also sent helpers. The assignment has arrived, but the helpers have not come. Bring them speedily to protect my integrity. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Don't take advantage of men, but I will tell you this. When you find the men sent to you, you will be flattered by their level of loyalty and commitment. Not the one you called, not the one you begged, not the one you manipulated, not the ones who are transactional. Men sent by God, that they know that my standing with you is my assignment, whether in intercession, whether financially. There are people I got to know who pray for me every day without fail. Is their assignment till they see the Lord. and I met them. They were not, it wasn't even their business whether they meet me. It's their commitment, like their assignment, without fail. They are more prayerful than even me that God called. Lord, you will not fail. Open doors. All they need to know is what ministry project is on ground now. They distribute that prayer request among themselves. Open fire, day, night. And some of us just cruise on the wings of genuine intercession. Hallelujah. I have a dear friend of mine, and he was telling me that every time he has a great meeting, that's how they have a group of people who pray for him. I said, my brother is like that for everybody who God called and knows how to attract helpers. Are we together? That a helper can come and call you, and you say, I'm in a meeting. Say, I will wait. I just wanted to know, have you eaten today? You say, why are you so concerned? How about your children? What school are they going to? I hear that you have a program in Lagos. Do you have a house to stay there? Please, there's one of my friends. Do you need any help at the airport? I hear your child is relocating. There is a scholarship program. I have a slot. Can I give your child? And you are wondering, why this? Help us. Numbers 1:5. Let me drum it to your head again. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Joshua Selman, there are names. There are names like you have submitted names. They will stand with you. This is not just for a man of God. Anybody on the business of kingdom advance, there is a roll call. And tonight, may God make that roll call. There are people for your sake. John, where are you? Why have you not helped this pastor? That billionaire man, where are you? I told you from January that you will help build a church for a man of God. This is the man of God. Give him all your support. And the man says, yes, sir. And he comes to meet you. I am on a mandate to help you. And you say, no, I don't want manipulation. He said, look, I'm a man of integrity. I was sent by God. Where will I get the land? Don't worry. My friend is the director of lands. Where will I get the construction? This is what I'm doing. Where will I get the architects? Don't worry. My younger brother is an architect. Come on now. Everything you need. This is what the Bible means when it says, and God is able to make all grace. All grace. Everything required. You want to step into a place to do ministry. As soon as you step in there, your first prayer, your keyboardist comes, your drummer comes. Are we together? Your worshippers, they all come as if they were dragged with a rope. Oh, we are here. Why are you here? Well, we just failed to come and join the prayer meeting. And you say, okay, you take 10 minutes prayer. You sing praise and worship. And the lady raises that prayer, that song. And you say, I found my music director. I found the head of prayer. I found the drummer. And someone will say, is it that? How did you gather them? No, you don't have the power to call them. They are brought. They are brought. They are brought. They are brought. Learn this. They are brought. Man of God, you can't gather members. Nobody has the power to gather members. They are brought. There is no skill that is enough to gather members. Human beings are not animals. They are brought in honor to these things. Ta-da-da-da-da-da. Ta-da-da-da-da. Every long-standing issue around your life that requires a man to step in, I cry to the God of Sabaoth this night in the name of Jesus. While you are asleep, may God wake men and position men to see to it that those requests are answered speedily. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I think I've given this story here many times. The former emir in Zaria who died, please sit down, is dead now. One time a gentleman wanted to go to one of the institutions, and because of the height requirement, they told him he was too short. And then his parents now led him, and they went to the emir, and they said they could not admit that boy because he was too short. And then I was told that the emir wrote that they should tell the commandant that he's added the height of the boy. Come on. Added the height. Do you know what that means? If you are interested in remaining there, the height of this boy has been added by the leverage of men. I know someone today who is a graduate. He didn't score up to the cutoff point. Far below the cutoff point. And it's not corruption. The lecturers had a slot. The people, they have a slot of who they can bring. Just dragged the boy and kept him comfortably. Let me see who fights you. You can fight me in the office, but when I'm in my house. And that's how that boy just enjoyed and rode through like that. There is something called the leverage of men. The leverage of men. Who is understanding what I'm saying? Now, when Jesus was born, watch this. He paid the price to grow in wisdom, stature, favor, Luke 2:52. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost, representing the presence of God, rested upon him. Remember? Matthew chapter 4, chapter 3, and then when you get to chapter 4, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. As soon as Jesus came out, guess who he looked for? Men. Men. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with wisdom. But he knew that if he was to achieve this goal, he needed men. You would think he would ignore men because he had the Holy Spirit. He had power. He started calling them. John, come. Peter, come. Andrew, come. Whatever it is, come. And they made his job easy. Forget about all the troubles that happened within the system. Eventually, he was able to leave to heaven, knowing that the assignment will not fail because of the power of men. Let me tell you this. No matter how wealthy you are, if you do not have men, you are poor. No matter how wealthy you are, if you do not have men, you are poor. Let me give you the fourth. Give us this day our daily bread. So you see that it's not just a chant. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so on and so forth. Give us this day our daily bread. The fourth resource is called financial resource. Spiritual resources, divine presence, supernatural power, intellectual resources, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Wisdom, knowing the laws of the kingdom, knowing the laws of the cosmos, knowing how to engage them for your profiting. Number three, human resources, the gift of men, the leverage of men. Number four, financial resources. Financial resources. Financial resources. Please look up. Our world today, as we know, runs upon the strength of economy. Please lend me your attention. This is very serious what I'm saying. Most people do not know how important financial resources are. In comparison to all these other resources, it is the lowest. But as far as your actualizing destiny is concerned, you need financial resources. It will take money to pay for that house. It will take money to build that church. It will take money to pay your children's school fees. Please look up. It will take money to eat daily. Even if it is men, they will, the instrument of transaction in our world is largely finance. That means when God wants to show you mercy, among the many provisions he makes available for you, finance. I wish I had time. I would have shown you how I got all of these things. By now you would have known that it was by studying the person Jesus. I took a study on Jesus. All the resources he had that granted him access to accomplishing his assignment. And all these four came from that study. The presence, the power, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, men to a point that it threatened the Pharisees, the Sadducees, are we together? That the whole city follows him. And then resources. Jesus had tremendous access to resources. Tremendous access to resources. One time Jesus was teaching, and the tribute collectors came to embarrass him. And they came and said, "You are a preacher of righteousness and you've not paid your tax. We are here representing Caesar, and you need to pay your tax now." You thought Jesus would say, "I hope you know I came from heaven. Go and check the census, whatever it is. I am from above. Don't ever bother me with the issue of tax, because tax is for people within a territory." And yet Jesus said, no. "Provided I am on earth now, even though I came from above, I am living here in the earth, and I must subscribe to the earth, the principles. And the principle for peace upon the earth is to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar." Even Jesus acknowledged that there are some things that belong to Caesar, and that every time you are about your assignment, Caesar will send tribute collectors to come and embarrass you. There's nothing I know that embarrasses visions like the bankruptcy of finances. You are anointed with a great vision to write a book, to run a program. But by the time you see the bills, you shelve the vision. Doesn't matter what God told you. Only God knows the kinds of books today that would have empowered believers, helped believers, blessed believers. Today, by the privilege of God's grace, there are so many across the globe who are listening to these messages and are being blessed and transformed. Let me tell you, it takes more than anointing. There is a media system with cameras, what, tens and hundreds of millions, that are able to provide this visual excellence that the globe gets blessed from. I hope you know that. Resources. Refuse to be poor. Not as an issue of carnality, I'm this and that. No. For the sake of your destiny and God's program, refuse. I've made my choice. In the name of Jesus, I've made my choice. God was there. Satan was there. I was there. I made my choice. That I will never beg to preach the gospel. And I will never beg to eat while I'm preaching the gospel. No, I will not. I don't believe that. I will not be distracted by financial issues. I will not major on minors and minor on majors. But in all my getting, I must verify that resources are also coming. Presence, power, wisdom, men. But I will check my bank account too. And if I find out that something is wrong with it, I will discuss with God. What is wrong? Are we together? There are many worries that are caused by lack of finances, not demons. You can wake up in the night, the same time it takes to pray, you are using to worry, simply because they've given a PTA letter that if by tomorrow you don't pay the school fees of your children. There are many people dying of high blood pressure today, courtesy the absence of finances. Are we together? There are many family troubles that can be resolved in a moment through the blessing of financial empowerment. Jesus needed financial resources. Every one of us, you need it. If I ask you to submit just two special prayer requests, and I ask you to be honest, more than 90% of us here, the first thing you write is finances. Every tenant knows where a house can be sold. The limitation is finances. Are we together? Every pastor that seeks expansion has, I presume, enough vision to sponsor expansion. It is largely finances. When you give a godly, visionary person resources, then you will see the power of resources in driving visions. By the privilege of God's grace, He's granted us the grace to hold these conferences that we hold. Now we are preparing for Sound of Revival UK. You imagine in your mind that you run 3 global conferences in 1 year without manipulation, US, not Nigeria, not Africa. And it doesn't matter how much your naira is dollar, you pay in dollar. Canadian dollar is Canadian dollar. They won't pity you because you come from Nigeria. If anything, it will even work against you. What is bringing you here? If it's sinners, you have them back home. What are you looking for here? And since you say you want it, then there you go. Are we together? Especially with the kind of growing antagonism over the church. The name of Jesus is very heavy. It takes financial resources to lift it high. It takes financial resources. Is someone hearing? It takes financial resources. There are some of you now, honestly, if God empowers you now, your parents will live longer than they are, because some of them are sick now. You can't even buy a supplement for them to just remain in health. There are many parents now who say, you know what? Opportunity cost. Let me just be sick till I die. Focus on the children's school fees. Don't use their school fees to treat me. Simple sicknesses that can be dealt with medically. But it's as simple as the resources you have in your hands. We have the honor today to do so many things for the kingdom. And I say this with every sense of humility. Still humbled by the things that we're able to do in partnership with the CSS group. These things take money. Empowering over 200 people and then helping to fund some of the projects. Come on now. If you are not visionary, you don't need money. Hello? If you don't love God and you are going nowhere, you don't need money. Give us this day, it's not for lazy people. Give us this day our daily bread, is not for visionless people. Jesus was training people who would be apostles, sent ones. The problem with the issue of finance in the body of Christ is, number one, it's been taught from a carnal standpoint, largely fueling the flesh. Number two, the accurate principles that make for wealth have not been holistically taught. So a part of it may be giving and then they stop there. Or a part of it entrepreneurship and it leaves a spiritual advantage. But in the presence of balance and modesty, the subject of finance must be taught. Otherwise the body of Christ becomes a poor, impoverished people. And my Bible says the rich will rule over the poor and the borrower will become slave to the lender. If you are going nowhere, you will not understand the implication. But at a leadership level, a governmental level, and at a macro level of God's program, you will see the danger of financial incapacitation that leads to servitude. There are many small-minded people who will not understand this. If you are looking for money, for tea, bread, and your small selfish life, you don't need prosperity. You don't need increase. But when you are talking of God's program, there are many people who die today that less than a million naira would have helped them with one surgery. Yes, God heals, but not everybody is at the same faith level. As far as it depends on me, I will continue to pray that God will trust me with the resources of the kingdom. And I will keep promoting Him. How much money can you eat with? This is my stomach, all of it as you are seeing. So you don't need more than, how many bowls of food can you eat? But we are talking of God's program. That under your watch, one child, if you can send one child to school, you have promoted God's program. If you can take one prostitute off the street, somebody who is roaming around because the parents could not solve their school fees, and they are now initiated into terrorist groups because of 2,000, 1,000. You call that child off the street and say with 10,000 go to the school, another school, and you train that child. Money with vision. Some of you, you are here and your mandate requires money, a lot of it. The mandate God has given you requires money. What do you think setting up that NGO is? You want to provide food? You want to take young girls off the street? It takes more than compassion, my dear. You will need resources. A prostitute who has been collecting money from strangers all her life, now you want to take her off the street and leave her dying. She will go back. Hunger is the only reason why Israel goes to Egypt. I've taught you this. Every time you see Israel in Egypt, they shouldn't be in Egypt. But when there is hunger, even Jacob will send his sons, go to Egypt. I have heard Genesis 42, that there is food in Egypt. It says, go dig it up and buy for us that we will eat and not die. For as long as I live, I will use my resources to promote the kingdom. I will use my resources to put a smile on someone's face. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it. If you come to me and I cannot help you, I won't hide it. I will say, let's pray. Money is not the only thing I can give you. Let's pray. If you don't believe in my prayer, leave my presence. Let's pray. If you come, let God choose what he will use me to give you. It's not always money. If God says I should give you anointing, I say, kneel down. And I'll pray for you. You'll be surprised that it will bless you more than what you are looking for. So I'm saying this as a disclaimer so you don't go and harass people and say, you, God bless you. Don't behave like that. Don't be afraid of talking about finances. Be afraid of manipulation. Be afraid of carnality. Be afraid of the distracting effect of overflogging the issue of money. But as a tool for kingdom advance, if you don't talk about it and you don't deal with it, you will pay the price with your life. Today, by the privilege and the mercy of God, we are able to protect the integrity of the gospel on account of financial resources. It's not just a good heart. There is no reason why I should pass a basket round, my dear people, asking you to give me money or asking you to... I've told you this. If I am hungry and after service, there's no food on my table, I will pass that basket. Oh. Especially after preaching like this, I'm sweating. You are sitting, I'm standing. Pass the basket and call it consultancy. Goodness, no. May that day not come in this place. May that day not come. There are certain registers that have been signed once. The pen has been dropped down already. It will not be lifted again. Do you know the joy to be able to call your loved ones, maybe your parents, maybe your siblings, and say, Mama, by God's grace, God has shown me mercy. I can send 20,000. You are in the village. You didn't go to school, but you gave birth to a child that knows God now. And if you know that your people are fine, it will help you to have focus. How many of you agree on that? Africa for you. That when you know it is not well at home, you cannot even have the freedom, the liberty. How many preachers cannot preach because their very children cannot go to school? The Holy Spirit is speaking, they are not hearing. And then someone now comes and says, you know what? This, you're being broke. There is a way we do ministry. We do this. And at first they'll say, God forbid. But because of the pain, they'll say, let's try this your thing again. What did you say? How do they do it? And before you know it, they get into things. And it's easy for us to point hands at people. But when you tell people what is wrong, you show them how to do it right. Don't tell a lady, don't be a prostitute. Show her how to live a life with dignity. Don't tell the guy, don't do Yahoo. Don't tell him, don't drink. He went into that Yahoo because of his mother's health condition. So as you rehabilitate him, show him the kingdom's way of dignity. And he will draw others using his testimony. Are we together? The problem with the church is we like to point what is wrong. Always teach solution, 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 not problems. There's falsehood in church, I agree. What is the right way? There's wickedness in church, I agree. What is the right way? There's witchcraft, I agree. What is the right way? Don't just tell people what is wrong and program their minds onto failure. It's important people know the way, the way. There is Jesus, the way. God's modus operandi. There is the way to prosper. There is a way to take care of your children. There is a way to do ministry with integrity. There is a way to succeed in ministry without compromise. Don't just lash on what is wrong. Show what is right. I respect people who teach solutions. Solutions. Haven't shown what is wrong. Recommend a path to glory with proof. With proof. Recommend a path. With proof. If you tell me don't steal, don't kill, don't destroy, don't prostitute, recommend a path with proof that leads to honor. This is why we don't just talk about it. We set up programs that empower people, and it will not stop. In the name of Jesus, it will not stop. No, we're not afraid of that. When it has to do with blessing people, we'll pray for you spiritually, but we'll come up with financial empowerment programs. For as long as I'm alive, it will continue. It is our contribution. We may not do everything, but Jesus says we are the light. He says we are the salt. Are we together? I'm able to do what I do today as a man of God, because by the privilege of God's grace, my parents, my family, they are happy. I'm honored to see that they are happy. It gives me the focus to do what God has called me to do. If someone, God forbid, says my mother is sick or my father is sick, and because of 1 million naira, you think I'll travel anywhere to preach? I will go around looking for the money. And most likely I'll come to your house. That's where you misuse the prophetic gift out of pressure. You force that prophetic gift to show you where money is. And you call the person. Do you respect me? Yes. All right? My mother is sick. What is God saying? Nothing. You are not hearing. What is God saying? You are not hearing. Okay, let me tell you what he's saying. I can shout like this because there's food in my kitchen by the grace of God. When I'm done shouting, I give God glory and I will sit down and eat. I must make sure there's food on your own table too. I've told you this. For as long as you are under this grace, you will hear the whole counsel of God. I will never teach you to be a spiritually vibrant people at the expense of other aspects of your life. If your parents are happy, if your loved ones are happy, if your children are happy, they will ask you, where were you taught this truth? They will come by themselves. Publicity is at the instance of impact, not sentiments. Impact, not sentiments. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, please look up. He was making you know from this teaching that there are resources, many of them beyond the third dimensional realm, and that there are laws that can draw to your space these resources. And it is with these resources you will do business for the kingdom. The resource of his presence, the resource of his power, the resource of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, the resource of the gift of man, stationed across strategic points of your destiny, like ushers, helping you to rise, helping you to stay, and then financial resources. I have seen what money can do when it enters a good hand. I've seen what money can do when it enters an evil hand. I've seen what money can do when it enters a wicked hand. I've seen what money can do when it enters an occultic hand. I've seen what money can do. I think I was telling them in Kenya, I've said it here, that there are many sons of the bondwoman buying up many auditoriums in Europe where we are using for several crusades, and as soon as they buy it, the first law is that crusades will not hold here again. It's a deliberate plot from Satan. A deliberate plot from Satan. But when believers are empowered by the mercies of God, we will be able to do much for the kingdom, and we will stand at the mountain top and shout his name and tell the nations Jesus saves, and tell the nations Jesus heals, and tell the nations that Jesus delivers, and give as many people a chance to make this decision for Jesus. I made reference to these statistics that there are about 8.2 billion people on earth. Believers who love Jesus, listen. 8.2 billion people on earth. And we have a little above 2.6 billion professing Christians. The margin is still wide. Still wide. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached across all the earth as a witness. Those who went ahead of us, they've done their own part. They've joined the cloud of witnesses. Now the baton has been given to us. We must not fail. And we must study their lives. For the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we, through patience and the comfort of scripture, might find hope. We must use the same formula they used. How did Reinhard Bonnke come to Africa? By the use of these resources. The presence, the power, the wisdom, understanding, the gift of men, and finances. Finances. Now that we hold global crusades, I have an idea of what that great patriarch would have been spending per crusade. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go and browse Christ for All Nations Crusades. Go and browse Maurice Sorullo Crusades. Go and browse T.L. Osborne's Crusades in Kenya and India. I mean, these people packed stadiums with people. You think the government will come and fund you? No, sir. That's not the assignment. It takes high-level resources. And there are people, whilst you are seated here, in the place of fasting and consecration, God has told you that there is a mandate. It's a financial mandate. Don't look at yourself as just a businessman. Look at yourself as a minister. It's not just about buying and selling. Buying and selling is to make you access the resources. There is a lot to be done for the kingdom. If you are not interested in Jesus nor his program, you will not be interested in what I'm saying. But if it's the business of Jesus, we're able to travel around the world and do the things that we do. How do you think you rush to one nation and you must be around and be present to do what you're doing? It's resources, oh. It's resources. It's not just vision. It's not just a good heart. It is resources. Man of God, in all you're getting, trust God for grace. I have done several teachings on finances. I don't want to talk about it here. Go and listen to my messages. The Power to Get Wealth, part 1 to 3. Listen diligently. Seasons of Abundance, listen diligently. True Riches, listen diligently. The Capital That Buys Money, listen diligently. Everyone you see, whether in ministry, in leadership, in business, who is scaling heights as far as their prophetic assignment is concerned, they have mastered the art of receiving their daily bread. Their daily bread. Their daily bread. Their daily bread. Koinonia runs today because by the privilege of God's mercy, we have learned how to receive for this ministry our daily bread. Daily bread of his presence. Daily bread of his power for the hour. Are we together? Daily bread of wisdom, bringing you life applicable, holistic building truths per week, a product of his wisdom. The resources of men, not just men in terms of membership, men in terms of enhancers of efficiency, stationed across several strata, that where the need arises, there is a man to stand and make for this work to be efficient and to be easy. And then by the privilege of God's mercy, the resources to run the assignment without compromise. I'm saying this because this will be the scope of our prayer now. We are going to get into a few minutes of prayer. And if for any reason you have asked why your life has not moved forward, I am showing you that there is scarceness of that delivery of daily bread. Lecturer, daily bread. Man of God, daily bread. Businessman, daily bread. And I hope you know that yesterday's manna will not feed today's hunger. No, sir. The manna came daily. Yesterday's manna cannot feed today's appetite. Appetite. The presence dimension you need to carry with respect to the darkness you've been mandated to confront. The kind of power you need that can deliver the kind of problems that God is sending in the lives of men to you. No. The power that heals a headache is not the power that shakes foundations. It's different. Power has levels, like money, like currency. What 10 naira will buy? Huh? 100 naira will, what 100 naira will buy? 10 naira will not buy. That's how it is in the spirit. So grace and peace can be multiplied. There are people here seated, they have cancer. There are people here seated, they have all kinds of satanic things. High blood pressure. They're about to die. It takes more than counseling. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit in ever increasing dimensions. Even medical science is teaching us now that there are sicknesses that machines cannot exactly tell what is wrong. Today they say it's headache. Tomorrow they say it's something somewhere. Next tomorrow is another thing somewhere. How about the mysterious forces that tie down destinies? Someone wants to make progress. After schooling, no job, no open doors, no nothing. A sincere pastor, loving God with integrity, no membership, no open doors, no support. Give us this day. Someone is going to cry this night. Lord, give me this day. The sufficiency for the journey. The sufficiency for the journey. For someone, your prayer will be, give me this day more of your presence. For someone else, your prayer will be, give me this day more of your power. For someone else, your prayer will be, give me this day greater wisdom. Give me this day greater understanding. Give me this day knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. For someone, it will be, give me this day the gift of men. I need helpers at this point in my destiny. For someone else, it will be, give me this day access to favor, favor for financial resources, wisdom and creativity, witty inventions, the power to be productive. Take a minute to pray, Koinonia. Sana malaka parada katabas rakatela sanda balaka praske bele de bakatos sana mens kaparatos sabranda keberekatos. A believer is praying. Your daily bread is your inheritance in Christ. Your daily bread is your inheritance in Christ. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves, our sufficiency, our capacity to continue, our capacity to not be in want, our capacity to have all that is needed for the journey is of God. Of God, our sufficiency of God. And these are the dynamics of accessing your sufficiency. Someone pray. Someone pray. Presence. Weightier dimensions of your presence. Weightier dimensions of your presence. I cry for divine presence. Divine presence upon my life in higher dimensions. Divine presence upon Koinonia in higher dimensions. Your power. Your power for signs and wonders. Your power for extraordinary manifestations of the Spirit. Go ahead and pray. Wisdom at a superior level. Understanding at a superior level. Commanding greater works for the sake of His Majesty. Greater works, exploits in ministry, exploits in leadership, exploits in business. Go ahead and pray for the gift of men. Help us of the war. Lift us. Prayer warriors, prayer support systems, financial helpers, encouragers, counselors. Go ahead and pray. Pray for divine connectors. Pray for men and women of influence. Pray for gifted people. Pray for burden bearers.
final prayer. Pray for the wisdom that produces wealth. The wisdom that produces wealth. The knowledge to transact your value and turn it into profit. The gift of man. Go ahead and pray. Please pray. Please pray. You're moving forward by the Spirit of God. No more stagnation in destiny. Take a minute to pray.
See the army of the Lord marching in the name of Jehovah. Jehovah. We're the army of the Lord marching in the name of Jehovah. Jehovah. See the army of the Lord marching in the name of Jehovah. Jehovah. Of the Lord, marching in the name of Jehovah.
Prophesy to yourself in 1 minute.
See the army of the Lord, marching in the name of Jehovah. Jehovah. See the army of the Lord, marching in the name of Jehovah.
It is a gift. I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith. I access wisdom by faith. I access it by faith. I access power by faith. In the name of Jesus, I access grace. Grace for all sufficiency. Grace for all sufficiency. Grace for all sufficiency. So that I abound in every good work. Every good work. Every good work. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Please let me have your attention. Before I do the altar call, I want to encourage you. Please, take it as an instruction in righteousness. Go back home and listen to this message again. You are being built. There is an exact spiritual portrait you are becoming. Trust the building. Trust the building. Trust the architecture that is being deployed in building this frame of believer called you. Trust it.
and honor the instructions in righteousness and watch what your life becomes. So as you return home, don't just give the teachings to people to listen. That's important. But take the time to stay. Listen to it. This is an instruction that applies even to me. Listen to it again and pray in the spirit and watch what your life becomes. Our daily bread. Some of you will begin to receive your daily bread in ways that will marvel you. You will go back your next ministration as a man of God. You will now see the things you did not carry before. You will know that certain resources have been made available unto you. Certain calls will come. Certain emails will come. And then you will know that this thing is true. It's not just a discussion of a preacher. May that be your experience in the name of Jesus. Let me make the altar call. I need to give somebody a chance to make it right with Jesus this night. The greatest gift that you can be given is the gift of His presence. You are in this place, you came to church, you were invited, or you've been here, and you are saying, Apostle, I hear that you allow people to make this decision every time you preach, you are right. Now is your time. Do not miss out on that opportunity. Perhaps for someone, you are saying, I want to rededicate my life. No playing games. I'm tired of living life my own way. If Jesus will accept me, then tonight I'm ready to surrender. I'm going to count 1 to 5. Very quickly, we're out of time. Wherever you are, you know that the Lord is speaking to you to make it right with Jesus. Leave your seat wherever you are. Your bags, your Bibles, everything you came to church with. Please be on your way to the front. God bless you as you come. Let's appreciate them. They are coming. They're coming. Please stand for sake of space. God bless you. Koinonia, is this the best you can do? Let's encourage them as they come. Male and female, young and old, you're welcome. Come. Come. Make it right with Jesus. Let this be your moment. This is your hour of salvation. The Bible says, as many who will come to Him, He will in no wise cast away. Do I still have someone coming? We'll give you a minute more. If you're leaving your seat, you're saying, Apostle, I don't know if I'm saved, I'm not sure. Come and join them. There's such a thing called the assurance of salvation. If you're joining them, come very quickly. Those coming from outside, make it fast. Once I begin to pray, then you can join from outside. And for someone who is following via television, or you're watching from your home, your device, Jesus is speaking to you. It is never too late to make it right with Jesus. Let this be your hour. Let this be your opportunity. Here at Koinonia, we're giving you a chance to make it right with Jesus. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much. Let me request that you lift your right hand. Thank you for honoring this call. Say this after me. Please join them. I still see a few people coming. God bless you. Thank you for your courage. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now lift your hand and say this after me as loud as you can and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive you into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I'm a child of God. I go forward ever, backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus, the Bible declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no way. I present this before you. By the authority of your word, I declare their sins forgiven. I call them bona fide recipients of your life and your grace, empowered by the life of God. From tonight, you go forward ever, backward never. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.